We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Almost made it to the end of the song. Great to be here with you on a Friday Eve edition of the show, a breaking news Friday Eve edition of the show. Today, can I get a breath? Can I get an amen? Folks, it is great to be with you guys. Coming up in 7 minutes, I'm going to tell you, I saw a criticism about LeBron James that actually made me like him more. And I'll tell you why and what that criticism was 7 minutes from right now. But of course, back-to-back breaking news days the last couple of days, and today. And I'm still trying to figure out, I'm kind of going back and forth on this, whether this is a good news day or a bad news day, because the SEC announced that they're going to play college football this year. Hooray, right? This is fantastic. Gator Neal just joined us on the show and said, look, Mark, any football is good as a good news day for me. But I expected the SEC to come out and say they were playing college football this year, right? That is their intent. That is what they plan to do. That is what they want to do. We're supposed to hear from the Pac-12 tomorrow. We are the Big 12, they pretty much have their whole conference slate scheduled anyway, right? Because they only have 10 teams in their conference. Everybody plays everybody anyway. There's no way to change that in any way, shape, or form. And the Big 10, you know, look, different part of the country. Certain parts of the country have been behaving differently than other parts of the country. The Big Ten is saying we're going to wait until next week to make any formal announcements on what we're going to do moving forward. But the SEC says we're playing college football. But unlike the ACC, we're not playing 11 games. We're playing 10 games. And the 10 games that we play are all going to be inside the conference of the inside the SEC conference, which is I'm all about safety first. If you guys are determining that it is not safe to play college football, then by all means, don't play college football. Caleb Farley is a projected first-round pick out of Virginia Tech, right? He is the best player on the Virginia Tech Hokies. And yesterday, Caleb Farley came out and made an announcement as to what his plans will be for this season. Lonzo, do you give that guy props, respect for doing what in his mind he needed to do? Or are you, if you're a Virginia Tech fan, are you upset that you don't have the services of your very best player?
I think we each make our decision according to our own health. And because of the conditions that we're in right now, I don't think anything negative should come his way, especially when people are opting out all over the place on all different sports. So, no, I wouldn't be negative towards him about that if I was a fan.
You know, it's interesting. He made that decision as though he is an NFL player, right? He's looking at himself as an NFL player. He's a projected first-round pick. And, you know, if this season had been pushed off to the fall, it would have been maybe an easy decision for him, right? I mean, pushed off to the spring. But it's in the fall, and he's become the first noteworthy college football player to say that I'm not playing, even though you're basically playing on time. Let's check on the text line here. Does this break the record count of the longest running rivalry between SC and CU now? Would be a shame to reset that consecutive number to zero just because they don't play. It doesn't reset the consecutive wins for Clemson, but it does offer Gamecock fans, it does, unless the SEC reverses course on this, it does offer Gamecock fans the chance to say that you only beat us 6 years in a row. You don't, you know, no matter what happens now, if Clemson wins the next four games in a row, four games in the series, the best you can say, you can go right back up and say, congratulations, you've won 4 years in a row. You've won 4 years in a row. You have not won 10 years in a row. We didn't play in 2020. Your annual streak has been broken. I think that's fair, Lonzo.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, the really sad part about this is there are kids who grew up in the state and all they wanted to do was play their rival. And maybe you're a South Carolina player and you didn't get to play last year. This is going to be your year. You're going to get a chance to go up against a rival. Whether you win or not, you get to play in that game that you've watched all your life, and now it's been taken away from you. And there's no guarantee that we'll have it next year either. So what you've been working for all your life, it's just gone. And I get that that's happened with a lot of professions, a lot of things because of the virus. But I feel sad for those kids who don't get to play in this game.
A poll on ESPN Upstate right now on Twitter. The SEC has announced it will play a conference-only slate. That means no Palmetto Bowl in 2020. If you're a Gamecock fan, how does that make you feel? Two choices. Does it make you feel relieved? Does it make you feel pissed? 58% of the people say it makes them feel pissed. 58% of Gamecock fans. 42% say it makes them feel relieved. Lonzo, Will Muschamp, in his heart of hearts, is Will Muschamp feeling relieved or ticked?
He's ticked off. I mean,
I think he's relieved.
No, see, I am never going to try to get in the mind of a coach and say that they're relieved because they knew they were going to get beat. I think everyone who's a competitor, including coaches and players, believes that they can win a game, believes that the way, you know, sometimes the ball bounces, the way luck may go, anything, that you could possibly win this game. And the fact that the challenge is out there every year for him to get the team prepared, unfortunately he never has, but to get them prepared to beat Clemson, of course he's sad about it.
I don't think so. So, you know, I'm just saying, if you're Will Muschamp, how are you feeling right now? I think Will Muschamp's feeling relieved. Shadow of Death Valley tweets into the show. He says, given the fact that we would have been favored by 50 anyway, and the SEC has so cowardly backed out, I feel well within my rights to go ahead and claim 7 in a row. One of the low points in a beautiful rivalry is right now. That's the thing, Shadow of Death Valley. You're not playing them, so you can't claim 7
you can't
in a row.
You can't do that, man. Come on. You could. Well, Clemson fans could do that, unfortunately.
Even Jim Carrey says that you're saying there's a chance. South Carolina had a 3% chance to win that game. I'm giving you the actual numbers, Shadow of Death Valley. They had a 3% chance to win that game, all right? So one out of 34 times that game would be played, South Carolina would win, all right? So you're saying there's a chance. You don't, the annual streak, Clemson fans can no longer say, we beat you 8 years in a row, 9 years in a row, 10 years. No, you haven't. You didn't play in 2020. You didn't play. I hope, folks, and I'm not trying to tweak Clemson fans with this, but I hope that the SEC rethinks this, because you're only adding one game and you are bringing to life the rivalries. Lonzo, imagine for a moment that Michigan's not in the Big Ten, okay? You know, Notre Dame's not in the Big Ten. Notre Dame-Michigan, great rivalry, play every year. You can't play that game now. If Michigan's not in the Big Ten, you can't play Ohio State? I mean, it literally drives you nuts. You know, and it hurts me as a Florida fan, because we have the upper hand on Florida State right now. I want to play them as many years in a row as I possibly can. Very, very important for recruiting in state.
I'm trying to figure out if someone started a car inside your apartment building.
The UPS guy has been parked right outside for like the last 10 minutes, looking up here constantly. And I've seen him before. He listens to the show. I've talked about it before. And I think he realized what was happening, Lonzo. I think he realized
You absolutely could hear him starting up the vehicle, by the way, on the air.
Yeah, yeah. Texter says, why would Muschamp feel better trading 12 games with probably 5 sure wins for 10 games with probably 3 sure wins? I'll bet he's not happy right now. It's such a conundrum right now in terms of figuring this whole thing out. I'm not happy about it as a Florida fan, to say the least. But if you're a Gamecock fan, you know, you're looking at this thing and you're saying, okay, well, we know we're going to be playing Kentucky, Florida, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, Georgia. I'm missing somebody. Kentucky, Florida, Tennessee, Vanderbilt. What the hell is going on here? There's 7 teams in the SEC East, right? Lonzo, who am I forgetting here? Kentucky, Florida, Tennessee. Oh, Missouri. Why is Missouri not on this list? I am so confused right now. I'm looking at South Carolina's schedule, and they don't have Missouri on here, which doesn't make any sense to me. So there's an error in this website. You'd play Kentucky, Florida, Tennessee, Missouri, Vandy, and Georgia out of the SEC East. And then you would play you have LSU and Texas A&M scheduled. But there's 5 other teams in the West, right? You have Auburn. You have Arkansas. You have Alabama. You have Ole Miss, and you have Mississippi State, and you now have to play 2 of those 5 teams. So, you know, you have 2 more games, and you have Alabama, Auburn, Arkansas, Ole Miss, and Mississippi State. I get it. You're praying for Arkansas, Ole Miss, or Mississippi State. I get it completely, but you may not get them. There's a 2-5 chance, 40% chance you get Alabama. There's a 40% chance you get Auburn. Yay. This is rough, man. This is rough indeed. I teased it, want to get to it. I saw something, a criticism of LeBron James that actually made me, that enhanced my opinion of him. I was reading this article on True Hoop today, and it said the following about LeBron James. It said, LeBron's competitiveness can be oppressive, overwhelming, and antisocial. A source who knows him well calls it the most undertold story in sports. This is from True Hoop. I like him more after reading that, not less. I read the whole article. Loved it. Like him more, not less. What have I said separates LeBron from Kobe? What have I said separates LeBron from Jordan? That dog, right? That I didn't, he doesn't show his dog often. He seems like he's so buddy-buddy with his opponents. Jordan would never do that. Jordan wanted to kill you and then eat your heart for dinner, you know? He wanted to eat your children, Mike Tyson style. LeBron James, you thought, was just this softy. But his competitiveness is overwhelming, and he's also antisocial, and he calls it, the most well-undertold story in sports. I like him more because of that. Look, I am incredibly competitive and hard-driving. Lonzo will tell you I am tough to deal with at times. I can hear him right now saying, at times? Or you mean every day, right?
Yeah, it's a good thing that I'm so easygoing.
Yeah, right, sure. But you know, I'm hard-driving because I want us to be great. You know, I don't accept, and Lonzo knows, you know, like, we have tiffs, little beefs, every single week where something didn't go off the way that I wanted it to go off on the show, right? And sometimes my hard-driving type A nature, I'm sure, can come across as oppressive, overwhelming, and antisocial. I'm sure about that. I like LeBron more after reading this.
That's funny. You were laughing when you said that sometimes.
Yeah. I like LeBron more. I like that he's oppressively competitive. I like that he's overwhelming. I like that he's antisocial. You want to squeeze every ounce of championship, every ounce of winning out of that body that you possibly can.
It's ironic that you're saying that as they're showing him walking into the building right now.
Is that so?
Yes.
He's playing tonight, man. Playing tonight. Going to be incredible. I like him more. Lonzo, I like him more. I'm happy to hear that LeBron is not unwilling to be an ass. You know, I'm happy to hear that. Anthony Davis is, you know, like, you know, LeBron's like Anthony Davis, and they're both really lax and laid back. That's the problem with Anthony Davis. He looks like he's half asleep all the time. You know, somebody needs to light a fire under that guy and make him realize that he's the most talented big in the NBA today, man. Somebody light a fire under Anthony Davis.
Stop poking him in the eye.
or the eyebrow. LeBron. I love it. I love it. I want to see more dog out of LeBron. I want to see more jerk. I do believe that you have to be a little bit of a jerk to be truly successful, right? Because you can't stand for crap. All right, ladies and gentlemen, coming up next on the show. Wait a minute. Mark, does this buy Muschamp more time if they win three or four games in a 10-win season? No way. Also, will there be bowls, especially if there's no fans? I don't think we're going to have a bowl season this year. I don't. Meaningless bowls. I think you might have the New Year's Six bowls and things like that, the bowls that truly mean something. Look, it's an interesting conundrum. Does Muschamp save his job for winning three or four games? No, absolutely not. Coming up next, Josh Pate joins the show. We'll get an update from him on all things college football, and we ask him the question, what coach would he love to play for, and what coach would he run from like the plague? That's next. This is Offsides right here on ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Fantastic to be here with you guys. Friday Eve edition of the show. We share with you this each and every week. One of my favorite segments of the week out of 80 is our sit down every single Thursday, this time with 24/7 Sports National Director of Video. I'll tell you what this makes me feel like. It's like when you get in on a stock right before a stock explodes, and you're just sitting there counting your cash, counting your straight cash, homie. That's what I feel like right now. Because this guy's blowing up, man, and he's quickly being recognized as one of the best college football minds in the country. 24/7 Sports scooped him up. We scooped him up for a weekly segment here at 4 p.m. each and every week. And Josh Pate joins us right now on the line. Josh, if you're looking for an agent, I'm available.
Yeah, seriously. I'm just happy to contribute to the market in some shape, form, or fashion.
Yeah, there you go. There you go, buddy. So the ACC yesterday, Josh, I was listening to some of your thoughts on this last night. Were you surprised that we got that news so swiftly? I was almost worried, Josh, that this was going to be a very, very dire-sounding show tomorrow if they had voted down college football. What a pleasant surprise to get the reverse.
Yeah, it was pleasant, and it was also a surprise that we got what we got. And I'll tell you the reason. we had had it sort of expressed to us no more than 4 or 5 hours earlier not to expect anything released. But then you start to get word that, oh, the SEC is possibly going this route. So the ACC and John Swofford just said, hey, whatever, let's just release it, like with a snap of the fingers. Got these pretty graphics made up. Let's just put it out there. And I know a lot's been made of, well, who's forcing whose hand. And really, I don't get the sense that fans care nearly as much about that as writers and we do, quite frankly. They just care about the games. And so now you know who's going to play who. You don't know quite when yet. But, yeah, it surprised me in that way. And then I was sort of looking up and down trying to figure out, well, who are the winners, who are the losers here? And I don't know that there were too many surprises. I think the one thing that I really loved that they did, at least for 1 year, is they got rid of the division format since things are already going to be turned upside down. Let's just take the two best teams, because what that does is prevents you from saying, all right, who's got to play in Clemson's division and how many good teams that could contend in the other division just happen to be parked with Clemson and won't have a shot. So now we get Clemson, Notre Dame in the regular season, could have them again in the ACC title game, but I'm very glad that they went that route. I don't think that's the route the SEC will go, nor do I necessarily think they need to, but I am glad the ACC went that route.
Yeah, it really looks more like a soccer table now, doesn't it? Like the English Premier League. We'll take the top two teams, get to go play in the Champions League when the regular season is over. So that's cool. Josh, you don't know this about me. I've been engaged twice, never married. I've been left twice before the altar, and I am not getting engaged again unless the third time is going to be what a ring symbolizes for me. If I put a ring on the finger, that is my commitment to get married, right? That is my philosophy. I was engaged to two women in my life who looked at it like a trial period. What we heard yesterday from the ACC, is it a trial period or is it a commitment to play?
Somewhere in between. Still trial period, because there is no somewhere in between. It's either commitment or not, if we're using that analogy. And so I think it has elements of both, but it's still a trial in the sense that they put some parameters out there that, to the common fan who doesn't follow this stuff at a granular level, seems like, oh, they're kind of tiptoeing and they're leaving things really open-ended. But really, when you say you can still have out-of-conference games, they just have to be in your state, it's not really open-ended. We understand exactly what's happening there. So I think they're marrying themselves to one of two possible routes. And in, you know, some civilizations, that's encouraged. So we got a couple of marriages here, Mark, but I think that there is more than just a spoken bond. Like, I think that they've done more than just taking these two scenarios out to a nice Italian restaurant. They're in a little bit further than that at this point.
I need the commitment, Josh. I'm not doing it. You got to make the commitment, man. I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying completely. So with all of that said, when will we hear a pseudo-commitment from the rest of the leagues?
That is what I'm looking at the screen right in front of me for. That is day-to-day. You know, like I told you, yesterday we had people very reputable, people involved in the decision-making process at the ACC league office just flat-out say, yeah, I probably won't get anything today, and then we get something that day. So having understood how very fluid the entire situation is right now, we pretty well expect something from the Pac-12 Friday. We think that something could come from the SEC really as early as today, possibly Friday, but there's also many shades of gray with them. It's like trying to nail Jell-O to the wall to get a definitive answer, because there isn't one to be had. With the Big 12, they have the most patience because their league schedule is pretty much already set. The one thing that, you know, we've been talking about a lot with the Big 12, and we were talking about it in this morning's meeting, is if they add conference games, you know, if they go with a 10-game conference schedule, well, that means that they're adding teams. Well, by default, you know, I don't know that people have thought this through. That means someone out there is playing Oklahoma twice. Now, who wants to explain to someone, they got to play Kansas twice, you played Oklahoma twice, and that's just the way it is. Bruce Hornsby style. So I don't know that that's going to go over very well. And with the Big Ten, Chicago Tribune has been pretty well on top of that. I think early next week from the Big Ten. I would say, Mark, that I'd be surprised if you and I were speaking this time next week and we didn't have something from every league office by then.
And do you expect the something from every league office will be a schedule? Do you expect that we will not be hearing that one league is not going to play?
I think that we will get that, yeah. The one you would worry about, I think, would be the Pac-12.
Yes.
And ironically, that's been the one over the past few days that we've been pretty confident in having nailed down as much certainty as you can have a timeline as to when we're going to get a schedule from them. So they seem to be pretty far along. You know, they have things that operate a little bit differently out there. They are much more crisis firm, PR-based, take as much responsibility out of my hands as possible and get it done and just bring it back to me and put it on my desk. So that means there are a lot of leaks, and that means there's a lot of information to be had, and the information that we've gotten is feel pretty good about Friday. Don't know when, maybe working after hours Friday, but feel pretty good about Friday with them. So, yeah, I think we'll get some form of a schedule. Now, here's where the shades of gray come in again. With the SEC, there are a few holdout programs down here. Some geographically are close to you, some aren't, but there are certain programs that are holdouts, not to the degree that they don't want to play the season. It's when they want to start the season. And that's why you got some folks who want to start it as normal. You got some who want to wait until late September, early October. I don't know how you release a schedule, but don't release the date the season's going to start when the earliest possible date would mean as teams are opening camps, hey, you're going to play a month from now, or you're going to play 2 months from now. I'm not sure how you shake all that out, and that's a lot of reason why we haven't heard anything definitive from the SEC yet.
You know, Josh, when I prep for this interview each and every week with you, I look at your Twitter, see what you're talking about, and that is one of the things that I saw, that the SEC is looking at perhaps late September all the way to an October 10th start. I suppose you can do that if 10 of your 11 games, if the other conferences follow the model of the ACC. I suppose it doesn't really matter, you know, provided that everyone's ready to go for whatever bowl season we're going to have or playoff come January. But it just strikes me a little funny that we wouldn't all get started at the same time. Are you picking up that the SEC will not be targeting September 12th like the ACC?
I think they want to target that. I don't think they have a large enough consensus to target that right now. And the aggravating part to folks like us and to fans is, as I've told you for about a month and a half, I don't necessarily think mountains of data and medical research are what are going into this. Sadly, I think a lot of the sentiment in the room is, well, let's let the NFL start. Let's let some other league start, and let's see how they do, and let's see if there are any perception hits to be taken and PR hits to be taken. Let's let them be at the forefront, and then we'll learn from their mistakes, and then we'll launch. And you know what? That's great if you're building a fort for your five-year-old, but you're running an entire league office, and leadership is part of your job title and those six figures and seven figures behind your salary. And so you would hope that you would have people ready to step to the forefront and make decisions that are at least in line with what other informed people are doing across the country. I don't know that they have that kind of consensus. It's not that everyone agrees they want to push it back. In fact, most don't want to push it back, but enough influential people are dragging their feet that this is where we sit.
Josh, the question I get asked more often than anybody, it's very basic, but more often than any other, is Mark, are we going to have college football, and how's it going to work? And, you know, I was even talking to Josh Pate's number one fan, Mr. Ryan, last night, and he was getting into this with me a little bit. And Josh, I continue to be surprised that we're not yet hearing more universities go toward e-learning and virtual learning, et cetera. Let's get this straight. That is the number one priority, the education of students, institution of higher learning. We all can agree on that, right? You don't do this because of college football. You do this for the safety of the students. But you and I are in sports, Josh, and I don't see how South Carolina is going to play or Clemson is going to play when the football players are walking and sitting in classrooms amongst a 46,000 and 28,000 strong student body, respectively. How can this work, Josh? It's not going to work if we do that.
You're right, and it's one of those deals where, you know, sometimes if there's a mess on your hands and it's late at night, sometimes you'll just go to sleep and hope that it's rectified itself by morning time. This is one of those deals that I am closing my eyes and pushing off to the side continuously and hoping rectifies itself. But there is no feasible way. I mean, the reason why we keep getting these great results from most of Major League Baseball and all the other sports leagues is because of the bubble aspect. And the only real way to have that in college athletics is if you have empty campuses. Now, what is surprising to me is you got places like Harvard, of all institutions, that have long since made the decision, and they're not alone, have made the decision to go to e-learning. Now, I'd be grade A pissed off at me having to pay full tuition to learn on a computer, but you and I are in the sports field. And as far as sports are related, hey, if Harvard's done it, then we'll do it. And we'll also ensure that we have a safe campus, a bubble, so to speak. We don't have to call it that, but a bubble that exists to maintain the health and sanctity that is conducive to keeping kids eligible, and not just eligible from a grade standpoint, but eligible from a health standpoint. And we don't all of a sudden have a Miami Marlins situation at the University of Tennessee or Georgia or South Carolina, because that doesn't just affect those programs. That sends a ripple effect everywhere. And you're kind of counting on everyone to be on board here and do their part. 60% buy-in doesn't work.
Completely. And you either have to have everyone on e-learning, or if you do have students on campus, you have to have the football players taking their classes in the football facility. You have to create the bubble if the students are on campus. I'm just becoming increasingly alarmed that we're not hearing more plans from major universities. It's just, no, students back on campus. I'm really, really surprised by that. Josh, what college coach would you most and least like to play for? You look like you could play college football, by the way.
Well, looks are part of it. Unfortunately, that's not all that goes into it. Who would I love to play for right now? I think an obvious answer would be Nick Saban. Another one I'd love to play for. I get the feeling, especially if I grew up in Louisiana, like, would you not run through a brick wall and then some for Ed Orgeron?
Well, we're going to play in a pasture at midnight, right?
Absolutely. And listen, I only halfway think the guy's joking. I'm doing something on LSU tonight. You know, it's kind of a sidetrack here, but, you know, this time last year, there's perception and reality. And perception was LSU's not going to overturn their offense overnight. I don't care what this guy keeps him hawing about at the podium. They're not going to do that. And then they did it. So now it's the same deal with their defense. Everyone thought Dave Aranda was great, one of the best coordinators in America, and they get rid of him. Well, they didn't get rid of him. He took a head coaching job. And Bo Pelini comes in after having not been a coordinator for over a decade, and everyone thinks, you're not going to lose Dave Aranda and improve your defense. Well, Ed Orgeron is adamant they're going to improve their defense. And so it's like, I learned my lesson last year. I'm not going to question him, even if I don't see it. I'm not going to question him. So I'd love to play for Ed Orgeron. The ones I wouldn't like to play for, I don't get the sense that if I were at Texas right now, I would look at Tom Herman and say, that's the guy that's going to lead me to where I want to be in my career. But it's still early in his tenure still there. So I could be wrong about that. And Chip Kelly at UCLA, too, has not struck me as the kind of guy that would inspire me to be pegging at all 10s on my meters on the field.
Interesting. What is it about Tom Herman? Was it the P chart that didn't grab you?
Well, listen, Mark, maybe I have my own P chart. Maybe the P chart is the least of my concerns.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'm taking a multivitamin that sometimes turns things neon green. So listen, the P chart would not know how to process me half the time. I don't know. It's just, there's a certain kind of coach I like, and the model is Nick Saban. And I like a guy that is very authoritative, larger than life. I could see his face on Mount Rushmore of college football one day. And sometimes you get that from Tom Herman, and other times he looks goofy on the sidelines. And I just don't – if I'm a player now, I mean, this is not how players necessarily look at it, but if I'm a player, I just want a consistent, bad you-know-what. That's what I want my head coach to be.
He is Josh Pate at Late Kick Josh on Twitter, 24/7 Sports' National Director of Video and host of the Late Kick podcast, both on YouTube and the podcast as well. What's coming up on Late Kick, Josh?
Well, told you we're going to talk a little bit about LSU. Going to have some more on the ACC schedule. Oh, you'll like this one, actually. I've never told you this story, and I can't do it now because it'll ruin the show. However, I'm not a big memorabilia guy. I got a few things that I hold on to, but I've never been a memorabilia hound. But it has occurred to me that I may have one of the most priceless, or very expensive, at least, pieces of memorabilia in all of college football. And I'm going to tell the story about it tonight on the show. It has to do with a national championship game in the last 5 years. That's as specific as I'll be.
That, my friends, in the business is what we call a tease. How can you not check out Late Kick tonight? Josh Pate, appreciate it, brother. Stay safe and stay well, all right?
Thanks, Mark.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Dan Radakovich, very unhappy right now. Quote from Dan Radakovich, he says, Clemson aggressively lobbied the ACC to include an additional non-conference game for the primary purpose of maintaining our long-standing rivalry game with South Carolina. And I've got a Twitter follower, Chris Hutchins, here in South Carolina with a good tweet to me. Thanks for the tweet, Chris. Appreciate it, buddy. He says, it shows who has the pants in their conference. We, meaning Clemson, got the ACC to make provisions to keep the rivalry game, and UFSC did not have the same standing or was able to carry the same weight. Yeah, when Clemson speaks, the ACC listens, and Clemson got its way. I'm still unsure why the rivalries did not hold the same weight. I mean, you think about this for a minute, right? Think about who are the best programs in the SEC overall. You have Alabama, you have Auburn. Who are their rivals? Oh, yeah, each other, right? LSU, who's their chief rival? I don't know. Florida and Georgia. Georgia, who's their chief rival? Georgia Tech. Can you live without playing Georgia Tech? That rivalry's called clean old-fashioned hate. Can you live without playing the Yellow Jackets? Probably. Florida's the one most hurt by this, right? I mean, Florida, you know, top five programs in the SEC, Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Auburn, and LSU. Easily the top five programs in the SEC. Florida's the one that's hurt the most by not getting to play its rival. It sucks. This sucks. If you're just tuning in, the SEC has announced its plans. The good news is they'll play. The bad news is, unlike the ACC, they're not going to allow one rivalry game, which doesn't make a lot of sense at all. You're playing 10 games. You can't play 11 games. And I understand, look, I'm all about safety. But don't hit me with safety, okay, if you are permitting South Carolina to travel to Kentucky, 600 miles away. If you're permitting South Carolina to travel to Baton Rouge, 750 miles away, when you can't play Clemson. I mean, don't hit me with safety if it's about, look, they're right here in the state, man. They're right here in the state. And now Clemson, I mean, the rules from the ACC were you have to play a non-conference opponent that's inside the state. The only team inside the state that is still on Clemson's schedule is Citadel. Right? So are we going to see some hastily scheduled games here? We had Delvin call the show earlier today, and he said, Mark, what about Coastal Carolina? You normally don't see schedules change this rapidly, but that's what we're getting right before our eyes here today. So who would you like, if you're a Clemson fan, who do you want to see the Tigers play in the non-conference, right? You have one non-conference game. You want to see them play Furman, Coastal Carolina? Because you can't play South Carolina right now, and that sucks. I'll be honest with you. That sucks. Let's check on our poll. I posted a poll on our ESPN Upstate Twitter page here, and I said, if you are a Gamecock fan, are you feeling relieved or are you ticked at today's news that you will not be playing Clemson this year? 59%, wow, ton of votes coming in on this right now. 59% say they're pissed. 41% say they're relieved. 59% of Gamecock fans say they're pissed they will not be playing Clemson this year. I think that's the right attitude, folks. I think that's the right attitude. But the one saving grace is that you can now tell Clemson fans they have not beaten you 7 years in a row. If or when Clemson beats you next year, you can say you've won 1 year in a row. Congratulations, because you will not be playing in 2020. I sincerely hope the SEC reconsiders this. You have time to reconsider this. Yeah, I sincerely hope you do. You wonder the why there too, right? Why exactly did the SEC break away from what the ACC did? It doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense, does it? The best thing we heard today, we'll see what Lonzo has planned for you next here on Offsides. We are ESPN Upstate. So let's give you a little preview coming your way for tomorrow's show. We'll have to go 29 for 29, folks. Never make it easy, right? But we've given you one team preview, a team preview from every single SEC team consecutively for 14 days. One team preview from every ACC team consecutively for another 14 days. So we're 28 for 28. Admittedly, I didn't think we were going to be able to pull this off. And then they dropped another team in the ACC on us yesterday. So tomorrow, I will die trying to get an expert from Notre Dame to join us for our Notre Dame segment tomorrow. Excited about that. Also, tomorrow on the show, how many games does Will Muschamp need to win in this new schedule, in this new format, to keep his job? You know, I'll be real with you. The SEC looks like they have their pants down here. The ACC has a better plan. They're maintaining the rivalry, and they had their schedule ready, and they're starting to play on September 12th. The SEC says September 26th. Look, if you feel that's safer, I agree with you. But this all points to a total batch of confusion, and the need for centralized leadership in college football. You got everybody doing something different now. Everybody's doing something different, and it makes no sense whatsoever. And now the SEC has no rivalry games. No rivalry games starting 2 weeks later than the ACC. Thumbs up to the ACC and thumbs down to the SEC for what I've seen. I hate the fact that Florida doesn't get to play Florida State. No Georgia, Georgia Tech. No clean old-fashioned hate. No Kentucky, Louisville. Come on, man. No Florida, Florida State. No Palmetto Bowl. Come on. This is heartbreaking. This is absolutely positively heartbreaking. And I don't care what anybody says. Will Muschamp is relieved by this. He's absolutely positively relieved by this development. It's one less loss on the schedule for the Gamecocks this year. 57% say they're pissed. 43% of Gamecock fans on our poll say they are relieved not to be playing the Clemson Tigers this year. All right, it's time to get to the best thing we heard today. Lonzo, what do you have for us?
I think you'll be excited to hear this. That's it. Just the NBA theme. I mean, I'm sorry. NBA is back. They're actually playing right now. They're in a commercial break, but they're playing right now.
Don't you apologize for a damn thing, and please don't talk over the greatest intro song in the history of television.
Way to go, John Tesh.
Can you believe ESPN didn't want to keep this song? Oh, God. I mean, you think about how songs affect your mood, right? Every time you hear this beautiful tune, do you not get pumped up? What one player do you think of, Lonzo, when you hear that music? I think of Charles Barkley for some reason. Like, I saw more Phoenix Suns games with that music than any other team. You have one player that song reminds you of?
No, I don't. I just think of the NBA overall when I hear it. And I'm just excited because I can't wait to get out of here and get home to watch.
Zion Williamson is on your TV right now. Donovan Mitchell is on your TV right now. The Lakers will be 0-1 this time tomorrow. Because they're going up against
that.
The Clippers. Yeah, of course. Of course I believe that. I don't believe it, Lonzo. I know. We should put another bet on this one, Lonzo. You don't want none of this
action.
You
better make it quick.
You don't want none of this action, Lonzo.
Okay.
All right, Lonzo, let's put a third lunch on the line, okay?
All right, let's do it.
Okay, third lunch on the line, $10 or less. I got the Clippers. You got the Lakers. Tonight, here we go, folks. The NBA is here. Sports are back. The SEC will be playing. The ACC will be playing. Can we talk the SEC into allowing the Palmetto Bowl? Back for a Friday episode of Offsides with Mark Ryan tomorrow, right here on ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.